I would like to begin by reading Philippians 4, verses 13 through 14, 13 and 14. That says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, Paul was a Jew of Jews, right? Brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, persecuted Christians. But he says, forgetting what is behind, he says, leaving that behind, I press toward what God called me to do. I press toward the mark. I believe my version said goal. If you look at the word mark in the Greek, look at Vines, the definition of that word is goal. So we set, he's got a goal, right? And when you think of a goal, what do you think? What do you think of? Those of you who have jobs, do you have to set goals? We used to have to do that when I was working. We had to set goals. We had to set company goals. We had to set personal goals. We had to have meetings. You had to have a review with your boss, and you had to set your own personal goals. I dislike that intensely. But that's what we have to do. That's what we had to do. And we set, Paul's got a goal here, and we know what that is. We know what he's pressing toward. And in my NIV here, it says straining toward the goal. Straining. Now, picture that in your mind, that you're straining for the goal. How many times have you seen a race run where at the end the runner reaches out and tries to be the first? He sticks his head out, or he strains to reach that goal. How many times does he fall down? But that happens. You know, you strain toward the goal. You give it your best effort. And it says, and he says, for the prize. We know what the prize is. You're all sitting there probably thinking, yeah, it's eternal life. Well, it is. The prize is eternal life. How many times do we hear that we can't lose sight of where we're going? We can't lose sight of the goal. We have to wade through the things of the world and wade through the things that pull us away and keep remembering what the goal is and where we're going. Paul talks about the high calling. You know, he's called to preach the gospel. He's called to strive for that goal. And he knows that eternal life is the best prize to reach for. Should we not, as Christians, reach for the best prize? Should we not, as Christians, reach for that goal? Straining for that goal, giving it our best effort. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, fight the good fight. Right? And then what does it say? Anybody know? Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. I read somewhere in a commentary or something, the words were, reach out and grab eternal life and don't let go. Reach out and grab it and don't let go. Lay hold on eternal life. So now we're going to try to reach that goal here. We're going to try to lay hold on eternal life. Well, so what do we do? What's the first thing we do? Got to have a plan, right? We got to design a plan. You know, we talk about scripture happens, or the earth happens by design or by chance. And you read, if it's by design, there has to be thought, right? There has to be designer. Design takes thought. Well, we're going to design a plan here to lay hold on eternal life, and it takes thought. So what do we have to think? What do Christians have to think? How many people are sitting out there right now thinking of a verse about what we're supposed to think? Read Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I gave a whole talk on that verse one time, just that one verse, about how Christians are supposed to think. That verse is an excellent summary of Christian thought. The things that Christians are supposed to think about. Things that are noble, right, pure, lovely, uplifting things, right? Think uplifting things. Think of things that are admirable. You know, that alone, if you concentrate on those sorts of things, that's going to lead to better happiness. How many people do you know that are always negative? When we were working, we had a guy that was about as sharp as anybody in our department. Very good analytical mind, very good operator, did what he was supposed to do all the time. But he never had a good thing to say about anything. He didn't read any of his emails. He didn't know anything that was going on. He didn't care about any of that stuff. He was very, very negative about everything. Got to the point people didn't even want to work with him. If we're going to be Christians and we're going to be trying to have an influence on somebody, or we're going to try to be happier, pressing toward the goal ourselves, what are we supposed to be thinking? Things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is a good report. Those are the things that Christians should be thinking. I'd like to read Hebrews 12 and 2. Actually, it says we look toward Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. I gave a talk about that too. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, and because he is what? What does it say? The author and finisher of our faith. You look at the Greek for the word author. If you look at Vines, it's perfect example. Much of the commentary. Perfect example. Jesus Christ is the author, the perfect example of our faith. If you think of an author, the writer, right? The first one. Guy that writes the books, first one. So Jesus Christ is the first one to give us our faith. He brought the word to us. And he's a perfect example of it. And he's the finisher because he took it all the way through to the death on the cross. So he's the author and finisher of our faith. So we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Look to Jesus as an example. When you look at the world, people outside the church, people that you interact with, what do they look for? What do the people look for? Wealth? Power? There was another guy at work that decided he was going to build up his spirituality. And he took a theology class. And he did a lot of study, and he was trying to improve himself. I have to give him that. But I came to find out that he was still doing some illegal things. We won't get into that. But the thing I remember about him was he never stopped swearing. You know, he was still swearing. He was, and there was another guy in our department who was hard of hearing, and a lot of people that you know that are hard of hearing talk loud because they can't hear themselves. We had headphones as far as our job goes, so that worked okay for him. But he was loud, and he was another one that every other word out of his mouth was filth. Well, our consoles were such that we faced away from the door. The door was to the back, to our back. And people would come through, tours would come through because our control center was kind of state-of-the-art when it was first built, and people came and toured it to get ideas. And there are a lot of times there'll be a tour group behind us that we didn't even know was there. They'd get clear up to your console right behind you before you ever knew it was there. Well, this guy was standing up talking, and he was talking loud, and every other word out of his mouth was filled. And this group was behind us listening to it all. So after it was over, I told my boss, I said, you need to talk to this guy. You know, we can't have him talking like that when people are from outside the company are in here listening. My boss looked at me and said, if I didn't hear a man swear every now and then, I wouldn't think he was much of a man. That's what we deal with. You know, that's the kind of things we're dealing with. I just quit saying anything about it. I just let it go. But we see those things in the world all the time, and the world's getting worse and worse about it. People don't look for the good things. People don't look for what's right. They don't look to Jesus Christ. They don't look to the Word of God. They don't look toward morality or ethics. You know, it's all worldly outside things. If we're going to be Christians and we're going to portray ourselves as Christians, we need to look for the good, not the bad. We need to look toward perfection, and that is Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, because he is the perfect example. Ephesians 4 and 15 tells us to speak the truth. What? In love. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking, what's truth? It's what the Bible has to say, is it not? Isn't truth what the Bible has to say? Speaking the truth in love. Wanting to speak about it. Loving to speak about it. How many times do you hear that? How much do you hear that? What's the first thing you think about as the opposite of speaking the truth in love? My first thought was gossip. How much gossip's going around, you know? How much of it's good? When you hear people, how many times, like, have you been around people when you hear a name, you're walking past people talking, you hear a name and you stop? You know, whoa. You know, and why do you stop? Why do you pause? Might hear something juicy, right? Might hear a juicy little tidbit here. So we stop and we pause automatically, reflexively. And how many times then do you find yourself engaging in the conversation? You know. And how many times is it mostly good? Not usually. Not that it can't be, but not usually. Usually. If you read Ephesians 4 and 29, we read that we are not to let any unwholesome talk proceed from out of your mouth. Now stop and think of what unwholesome talk is. Doesn't that take in a lot of territory? That takes in a lot of ground, doesn't it? Don't let any unwholesome talk, but what? That which is good to edifying. Let no unwholesome talk proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying. You know, one of the things that God hates is those who cause dissension among the brethren. It's one thing to talk about something somebody has done. It's another thing to slander somebody's character. You have to be careful about how we talk. People are going to watch. You know, people are going to watch. If you portray yourself to be a Christian and people know that you have spiritual values, they're going to watch. They're going to wait. And they're going to see just how well you do. Hebrews 13 and 21 says that God will equip us for the good work he wants us to do. We're working for the best here. God wants to equip us for working his will, doing his will, what is well-pleasing in his sight. When you think of that goal, when you think of that work, when you think of work, what comes to mind? A job. You know, we used to say, I don't know anybody that I suppose there were some, but they didn't come to work just because they loved it. They came to work for the money. You know, I used to play a lot of golf, and those of you who follow golf, probably are well aware of this new, tour that the Arab nations are starting up here, taking away a lot of these guys from the PGA. And these guys that are going over there are saying, well, it's for the love of the game. It's to expand the game. And there's an announcer. His name's David Faraday, and he's gone over there to be an announcer. And he says, let's forget about all the stuff they're saying. He says, it's money. He says, I come over for the money, and so did all these guys. You know? So the work is for the money. Right? That's a worldly thing. That's a worldly thing. And we have to have money. I mean, we have to be good stewards of our money. We have to be self-supporting. One of the First Thessalonians says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we have to do that. But we need to work toward that goal. Keep in mind that goal, eternal life in heaven. We need to be complete. The scripture says God works to make us complete in every good work and to do His will. If we don't know what He wants us to do, if we don't know what that will is, then we can't do it. You have to read this thing. You have to study this thing. This is truth. This is the will of God. You got to read it, study it to know what to do. In John 16:28, what we've talked about thought here. We've talked about where we're supposed to look. We're talking about how we're supposed to speak. We're talking about the work we're going to do. So where do we go? Now where do we go? In John 16:28, Jesus says, I left the Father to come here. And then He says, I go to the Father again. I will go to the Father. Well, now if we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, and Jesus is the perfect example, and He's going to go to the Father, what are we supposed to do? Go to the Father. And how do we go to the Father? We read verses, pray to God, right? How many places in the Bible do we read how to pray? Pray to God. And the scripture says not all will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do what? Obey the will of my Father. Obey His will. And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man what? Comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ Himself tells us to go to the Father. Go to the Father. Not go to the world. How many times have we read in the Bible and how many times has it come up that sin is pleasure? The scripture says Moses left the court of Pharaoh rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's pleasure. Sin is pleasure. We're told that in the Bible. If it wasn't pleasure, if it was detestable, nobody'd do it. And then we wouldn't have to have that sacrifice. We wouldn't have to have the test. Because this world is testing us to see how well we can follow the will of God rather than the will of the world. 1 Corinthians 15:19 basically says, if we deny ourselves all the pleasures of the world and then there's no eternal life, what good is it? Zur himself says we would be most miserable. But there is eternal life. There is a goal to strive for. We are not going to be most miserable. We deny ourselves the pleasures of sin so that we can have something better. God meant for sin to be pleasurable. God meant for sin to be a temptation. He meant for us to have to work to attain that goal. Scripture says if we don't do the work, if we don't attain the goal, we don't come to the Father. The goal is to come to the Father. Paul talks about reaching forth unto the goal, straining toward the goal, pressing toward the mark. Pressing toward the high calling of God. Shouldn't we strain for what is the best? That prize of eternal life. I've tried this morning to point out some of the things that we need to be doing to press toward that mark, what we should be thinking, what we should be looking for, what we should be saying, the things that we should be doing as Christians. We need to press toward that goal, press toward that mark, and strain for it. You know, it's the most important thing. You know, eternity. It's the most important thing. So we press toward that goal. We strain for that goal. The first step toward attaining that goal is to be baptized. The scripture says, the water symbolizes baptism, which doth now save us. Baptism, comma, which doth now save us, comma. And this, 1 Peter 3:21. So we need to be baptized. So, as always, we offer the gospel invitation. If you have a need to be baptized, become a member of the church, start that trip toward the goal, or if you have anything else that needs to be addressed before the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.